a little bit about Dog Power Adventures.
We do rescue. We're a rescue operation where we take in dogs that need rehoming or literally just, you know, maybe somebody's shutting down, but not usually to the extent of the Whistler. Like they had for over 6 months that I know of, they were advertising dogs to give away to free homes. But, I mean, how do you place 100 dogs? And not that I agree with culling at all. I just, because that's what it's called in the sled dog world, is culling. I totally don't agree with it, but when you get that big, I don't know what their other, what the answer would be to that problem of downscaling at that mass size. But what we do is we do tours, but we do tours mainly because we have gotten a lot of rescue dogs, so we want to keep them in their natural state and keeping them happy as, and healthy as possible. So running the tours just helps compensate for their vet bills and food bills, that kind of thing. We also do sled dog training and skeeter training, so people can actually bring their dogs in and get them into a program where they can get out and get on the trails. And because a lot of dogs have issues with being destructive just because they're bored. So, and pretty much all dogs want to run, so if they get them running, that kind of helps them out with any of the issues that they have at home. And then, of course, when they go home, they're nice and they're tired and they're great. But we only do that on a training basis, so they come in and they train, and then they go to wherever they want to go to kind of play around with their dogs.
So, Sally, in the case of the Whistler situation, you know, people who hear about the story and, you know, they just think instantly, well, why didn't they just give them away to free homes? It's not a sled dog. A dog that's been born and bred and trained to be a sled dog isn't exactly the type of animal that you would consider to be initially be, right off the bat, a family-friendly pet. Is that right?
Yeah, it would be definitely difficult. For one, they're not housebroken. They're not, a lot of them aren't used to a lot of interaction with people. They're... A lot of them are on chains to their doghouse, and they're close together. They're in proximities. In a lot of places, what they do is they have a blowout pen, so then they take groups of dogs and they let them out together so that they can run and play, and then they go back on their chains. And that's usually the off season when they're not running, and otherwise they're running, so they're getting exercised. And they do have in the doghouse, they usually have, it's like their own little den, so they usually have piles of straw and stuff in there. But when you take that kind of dog into your house, it's a whole rehabilitating process for them. For one, they're afraid of the floors. They're afraid of stairs. Anything that you would think would be normal would not be normal to them. So it's just the whole scenario for them. For some, it's quite traumatic. And for others, they can actually adjust quite nicely. It all depends on the dog's temperament. We've done both. We've had some that we've rehabilitated that have been totally scared and off the wall, and we literally put them in our house for 2 weeks until they calm down, until they get to know people and get to know the whole situation, and then we actually move them out into our kennels. And, I mean, so it's doable, but on a grand scale, it would be very difficult to do.
So you were saying to me that from your understanding, it looks like this company in Whistler was trying to get rid of these dogs.
Oh, for months it was on. Yeah, it was on. It was advertised that they were giving away dogs to free homes.
Right. So, I mean, from your perspective, does it look like kind of the company, maybe this was a last resort, or is this even something that, you know, shouldn't have been done in the first place? What happened to these dogs?
It's really a tricky situation because I don't agree with culling with them, but what else would they do? I mean, if you can't feed the dogs and you can't find homes for them, and they did advertise for a long time. I know at least it was 6 months that I would see their ads up there looking for homes for the Alaskans. And we only do Siberians. And even then, there could have been maybe a little more input, like a whole community thing. If everybody knew that they were in a desperate situation, they could have... I think the sled dogging community could have come together and helped out in that way, but I don't think anybody realized that it was a desperate situation, that there were going to be downscaling at that level. It's just I don't know what else they, you know, I don't know what the answer to that situation is. Pretty much because we keep all our old dogs until they you know, expire of natural causes, or we think it's to the point where they need to be taken into the vet. But, and once again, you know, should a vet have been brought in to do the thing instead of the means that were used? It's a whole thing of, you know, cost and money and I guess where the situation is, where they're at. But it's kind of a hard thing to comment on when I'm not at that level. We're at 24 dogs. We're not at, you know, 300 dogs and downscaling 100 of them or whatever their numbers were.
Right. Okay, Sally, you have given me some really good perspective here. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.